I welcome you to join me in the Gospel of John. This is the third chapter of John. You all know it. It is the section where Nicodemus by night comes to meet the Christ. Nicodemus had seen the miracles of Jesus Christ, and he has experienced many of the teachings. And so by night, he comes to inquire out of curiosity who this Christ is. But before we hear the word of God, let's briefly pray once more. We pray, Lord, that you illuminate the text to us this evening, and that as we hear the word of God, that it is a challenge to our hearts to transform our thinking and to teach us to live unto righteousness. Lord, may the word be proclaimed faithfully, and may it challenge our hearts thoroughly. In your name, amen. John, the third chapter, picking up in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you the earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you the heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man." In verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Here ends our gospel lesson, and this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What is rebirth? That is the main question that Jesus poses to Nicodemus in this text this evening. What is rebirth? And if we listen tentatively, we saw that Jesus is describing the transformation of the old self into the new self. This is not a new concept, in other words. But this is a concept that we find deep within the Old Testament. It is that heart of stone being replaced with a heart of flesh. It is, as many of you know, it is the doctrine of regeneration. And as we look at the text this evening, you will see that this doctrine right here that we look at as new birth, it is not a work that we ourselves do, but it is a work of the Holy Spirit. And so as we study this text, I hope that we can see the work of the Spirit in our salvation. John, the gospel writer, if you read through his gospel slowly, you'll see every turn there is misunderstanding. Left and right, Jesus teaches a parable. Jesus teaches a lesson. He says anything, and the disciples misunderstand. the leaders in the Jewish religion misunderstand. The crowds and all the people that come to hear misunderstand. And I think it's our tendency to think, well, if these Jewish leaders just studied their Old Testament a little better, then they would believe. Or if the disciples carefully listened to the message that Christ would proclaim, then they would know that he is the Christ. If I craft the most amazing homily and go home and catechize my kids thoroughly, then they will believe. But what if the misunderstanding that we see in John's gospel here is not in relation to the disciples or the Jewish leaders' cognitive ability? What if it wasn't based what we could do with our own intellect? But what if all of John's gospel, what if it was showing us it's based upon the revelation of the Holy Spirit within us? You see, I think what John is teaching, that it is not our own cerebral hardware that brings us to salvation, but it is a work of the Spirit. So the main point, if you can walk away with anything tonight, it is that we must depend upon God for our salvation. We must depend upon God for our salvation. You may say, well, why do we depend upon God for our salvation? Well, first, we depend upon God for our salvation because salvation depends upon new birth. Look down at verse 1 with me. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless you are a teacher from God, unless you are God, unless God is with you. So Jesus starts this text. Jesus starts this text by revealing the way into the kingdom of God. How are you to enter into the kingdom of God? You do so by new birth. Who is Nicodemus? We already got a small little picture. Nicodemus is a leader in the Jewish Sanhedrin. That is the general assembly in Judaism. Every year, they would gather together and make decisions. He was a leader. He was an influential leader. All came to hear him teach. He knew his Old Testament frontwards and backwards, memorizing it as a child. And he was eloquent. The crowds came. They responded. He was your John Piper or even your Billy Graham of Judaism. He was the one everyone knew, and he was influential. But notice, when does Nicodemus travel? By night. Little does Nicodemus know that the darkness that he travels in, that veils him, is the same darkness that is within his own soul. And so Nicodemus struggles with the same ailment as his Jewish brothers and sisters. Though he has heard the word of God his entire life, he does not know God. And he does not know it. And so he comes to Christ to hear it. You may look down and you might think, well, at least Nicodemus recognizes that Jesus is a good teacher, that he's been endowed with the gifts of God. And you might think, well, Nicodemus isn't that far off. He is on his way to becoming a Christian. But at this point, is Jesus merely a rabbi? Is he merely endowed with the gifts from God? See, to Nicodemus, he was just a good teacher. He was another Moses, maybe a Jeremiah. What Nicodemus failed to see is that Jesus Christ was sent from God as the Son of God. This might ring true for our society today, but I digress. If we look down back at the text, how does Jesus respond to him? He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What is Jesus' response to Nicodemus? He knows his needs. He knows the needs that Nicodemus has, and he says, "Unless you are born again, Nicodemus, you will never enter the kingdom of God." You see, our focus here might be on Nicodemus's humility, or maybe his brokenness, or maybe the little seed of faith that he has. But really, the main point that John wants to impress upon us is that it is a focus on the need for transformation. If Nicodemus is not transformed, he remains dead in his sins. I like what one commentator said. He said, "If Nicodemus, with all of his knowledge and gifts, understanding, position, integrity, cannot enter the kingdom of God, what hope is it there then for us? If Nicodemus, a faithful teacher in Judaism, cannot understand the truth of the gospel with everything that he has developed in his studies, what hope is there for us?" I think of my current education. You know, we can go through seminary, we can go through RTS, and have all of the theological ducks lined up in a row, and be able to recite the confession and the Bible perfectly, and we can still fall short of entering into the kingdom of heaven. We could spend our entire lives memorizing scripture, knowing the catechism, reading the Bible in its entirety every year, and not be in God's kingdom. Those things are important. They are not what save you. Well, what saves us is rebirth, regeneration by the Holy Spirit. And so now, no matter how we cut it, we need new birth. And as parents, as Sunday school teachers, as leaders, as elders and deacons that try to pass on the faith to their children, that present the faith to friends and coworkers, we tend to think that, you know, if I just craft it right, my family will believe. If I'm just well-disciplined enough, my family will believe. But we, as Christians, cannot be the workers of salvation. We cannot cause it. We cannot force it. We cannot create rebirth or new birth in anyone. But what can we do? We can facilitate what Christ has taught us to do. Christ has taught us to train our children in righteousness. Christ has taught us to, in the Great Commission, go out and make disciples of the nations. Christ has taught us to do things, and that is what we are called to do, to facilitate the faith. But we cannot cause the faith. The only one can cause the faith is the Holy Spirit. And so if we must depend upon God for our salvation, first we see that it depends, salvation depends upon new birth. But even more importantly, as we'll see here, is that salvation is applied by the Holy Spirit. Look down at verse 4 with me. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." And so Nicodemus fails to understand Jesus here. He fails to understand what he is teaching. Nicodemus thinks that this new birth is something that is physical. But what the new birth is, as Jesus will teach, it is not a physical birth, but a spiritual. A new birth does not find its origin in humanity. Jesus, as we just heard, flesh creates flesh. Flesh begets flesh. And so my son exists because flesh creates flesh. Flesh does not create spirit. God creates spirit. Spirit births spirit. And in other words, the Holy Spirit is the one that works in birthing spiritual life and raising us up from the dead, bringing life to us. It is not our work, but the Spirit's work. If you look down, you see that Jesus gives us a beautiful illustration in verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is a play on words here. In the original Greek, the word for spirit is the same word for wind. It's the same way in the Hebrew Old Testament. It's the same word. And so what Jesus is literally saying here, he is saying, pneuma is like pneuma. The spirit is like the wind. And how is the spirit like the wind? You cannot see the wind. I cannot see the wind. But we can see the effects of the wind. If you join me at my house in Yazoo City on any particular day and you see leaves on my lawn, and it's a particularly dry day, and you see a gushing wind come through my front yard, you will only see it because you see the effects of it. You see the leaves swirl up in the air, and you'll see the trees rock back and forth and the grass sway. We might not see the Spirit or understand the Spirit, but Jesus Christ says we can see the effects of the Spirit. We can see the Spirit working in the lives of those who have been born again. We might not know what the Spirit is doing. What does Paul say, or what does Jesus say here? The wind does what it wants. So too does the Spirit of God in this text. You know, the Spirit of God cannot be manipulated, cannot be controlled, cannot be maneuvered. He works as He pleases. And He saves who He saves. He rebirths who He rebirths. We cannot do that. This is to reflect us back to the prophet Ezekiel. As Ezekiel wrote in chapter 36 and 37, we see a heart of stone being replaced with a heart of flesh. And then in chapter 37, we are presented with the driest, deadest bones in a valley. I don't know if you've ever seen dry, dead bones, but there's no life in them. Useless. They crack and crumble as you pick them up. There's nothing of value. And what does God do? He breathes and brings life. He straps bone back to bone, marrow with marrow, flesh with flesh, and revives and creates life from death. And that is what Christ is referencing here. And Nicodemus, as the good Jewish Old Testament scholar, should have picked up on it. Yet he doesn't. I cannot burden you this evening with rebirth as your responsibility. But I can ask you to reflect upon your life. Since we can see the work of the Spirit within those who have been affected by the Spirit, the question becomes for us, have we seen the evidences of the Spirit in our life? Have you seen the Spirit work in your life? Or has it been a stagnant year? Can you see in this past year, as we approach this new year right now, we are in this new year, can you see in the past year your dependence upon Christ grow? Or has your dependence upon self grown? These are questions that Jesus Christ wants us to ask ourselves as we read the Gospel of John here. Do we see the effects of the Spirit like it blows in the wind, as the wind blows up the leaves of my yard? Can you see that within your life? And can you see that in the lives of those you minister to, those you teach, those you raise up? Depend upon God for your salvation. Depend upon Him. Why are you to depend upon Him? Well, we saw that we depend upon God for rebirth, new birth. We also, salvation depends upon the Holy Spirit applying it to us. And thirdly, if you look down at the text, you'll see it quite plainly. Salvation is accomplished by the Son of God. Verse 9. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" This is a shift. And so we see a shift from the work of the Spirit applying salvation to the work of the Son of God accomplishing redemption. So what is the Spirit of God doing in new birth for each of you? He is revealing to you the salvation that Christ accomplished for you. And until Nicodemus understands that Jesus Christ had come from heaven, descending onto earth for one purpose, and that purpose to be salvation for his people, until Nicodemus sees that Jesus Christ is the sacrifice that will save him, he will not know God. He will not know God. And so we see the failure of Nicodemus' theology again. If you look at the text, Jesus says, if I cannot give you earthly things and you don't grasp them, what's the purpose of giving you heavenly things? In other words, if you do not understand the basic principles of rebirth, why should we even talk about the kingdom of God? There is no point, because if you have not been reborn, you will not understand. Just like the Jews. You see, Nicodemus was getting caught up. If he cannot even walk through the entryway of salvation, what point is there in revealing anything more that night? There's not. And so we get a small glimpse into the need that Nicodemus has here. And as Jesus gives us a small glimpse of that, he shows us the whole point of his coming. Look down back at the text. You see in verse 13, "No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And so Jesus ends this lesson that he is teaching Nicodemus with another illustration. Jesus Christ is like that Old Testament serpent. Many of the kids know the story. It's been taught. As Israel was wandering in the wilderness, they were disobedient yet again, and God sends fiery serpents among the people, venomous snakes. And the congregation is infested with disease, and they are dying, and there's no hope. And what does Moses do? He intercedes on behalf of the people. And he cries out to God, and God says, "Make a snake, and lift the snake high. And for all who gazed upon the snake, you will be healed." The same is true for our Savior. He will be lifted up on a tree. And all who gaze upon him and confess him to be their Savior, he will heal and save. If they look. If they have faith. Depend upon God for your salvation. As we look at the gazing Savior, we might think, well, that was dreary. How are we to go forward? We have no control over our salvation, not the salvation of our friends, not the salvation of our family or our children or even ourselves. What hope is there in this text for us in our anguish? And that is at the end of the gospel. If you notice at the end of John's gospel, he is very particular to show Nicodemus again. And what do we see at the end of the gospel? A man that has come to faith in Christ. A man that confessed. A man that gazed upon the tree and knew his Savior. And so the encouraging aspect, even in tonight's sermon, is that the work of rebirth is never impossible for the Holy Spirit. And as we toil and work tirelessly in the lives of our children, in the lives of our family members, in the lives of those we love, and as we work and toil, we can be reminded that no situation is hopeless. The Spirit works as He wishes. Nicodemus may have been saved from this time with Christ. We don't know that. But we do know that he was not believing at this time. And it was only later in life that he came to faith. The Spirit works as He wishes. Therefore, we must depend upon God for our salvation. Let us close in prayer. Lord, as we have saw and heard the word of God this evening, we see the work of your Holy Spirit, even in our lives. And while it might be dreary, as we reflect deeply within our own lives, we're reminded of the comfort of your work in us. For we do not have to depend upon our own strengths and our own wills, but we depend solely upon you. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your work, and we pray, Lord, that you cause us to experience new birth and show us the way towards new life in Christ. We pray also, Lord, as we conclude our Lord's Day, that you prepare us for this week. Guide us and be with us. In your name, amen.